with a guy by the name of Beau Robert Rude. We have not, we've seen each other limited amount of times. We have not podcasted since, what, I just was looking at it. June 13th was our last podcast. It is, we're taping this, is August 9th.
It's
this
unbelievable.
Is unacceptable.
It's unbelievable. I don't know what to say. It's been the craziest months of both of our lives.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be, but no. It has been. But no more excuses.
Nope.
It's time to buckle down and get back into the season.
I mean, be honest, like at this point, are you like, so who's our tight end? Eric Alford? Who's on the... I mean, like...
I think 2022 feels as far away as 1992 feels right now. Scott Frost was our coach last year at this time. That feels a million zillion miles away.
Frost coaching in Dublin seems like that's as long ago as Pelini coaching in like the Big 12 championship.
Peter McGill getting drunk. Peter McGill,
that's like a. Do you know every once in a while I go back and listen to the end of that pod of just for anybody that never doesn't remember the end of our Northwestern game recap.
One of our best.
It was just the greatest thing ever. But you know, you mentioned it. We've had to kind of get back in the swing of this stuff of immersing ourselves back in the Nebraska football. I mean, because starting now, you and I are going to get back into our rhythm
yes.
of talking about this stuff. So. I text you and I said, one of the topics we got to do is top five most important Huskers. And we've done this before. We've done this. I don't know if we've done it every year since the inception of the pod, but did you struggle with why you said this was really hard? Did you feel like you struggled with it because of like the newness of the team or?
Yeah, I would. So you sent top five most important players
yeah.
and I think it's the first time in my life I almost drew a blank. Like, who's important? Like, I know the players.
Right.
They're very new. I just don't know who matters the most almost. Like, I've made my list. I
yep.
have an idea. But, like, it's not like the defined, even the last few years where I was like, you know, it's like, Cam Taylor Britt, I know how important he is to the team.
Right.
It seems less obvious who's important and who's like a difference maker almost. I've got some ideas, but it wasn't as obvious as normal.
Well, I think one of the things that when I look at my list, I don't know if anybody is an absolute superstar on it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep.
And I think that's what I've struggled with when I was doing it is like, you would think when you make a top five most important players on any team, at least three or four of those players are superstars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it's not really like that for me and my list. It is important to, let's kind of frame it. I mean, important is kind of self-explanatory, but it's important to mention that this isn't necessarily the five best players on the team. There's you can kind of define important how you want to. You can take into consideration certainly their talent and their upside, but depth around them, experience at their position group. I kind of ended up framing it like this. For Nebraska to have a good year, these are the five most important players.
I think that's probably the only way to do it because it's really not – it's hard to frame it any other way
yeah.
and make it and find guys. Like, I'm just kind of like, gosh.
So, like for me, at the end of the year, we say any of these five players' names and we go, they kind of had an average year or that boy, they kind of had a bad year or weren't studs.
Yeah.
That likely means Nebraska probably had a rough year
yep.
is my guess. But,
yep.
Okay, we ready to do this? Let's start at five, we'll go to one, and then we'll have the honorable mention. Because I sometimes want to start with the honorable mention, but that kind of tips your hat on like what you got. You're cringing already because you're nervous about it. I hate my number. I'm not going to lie. I hate my number five. I don't like it.
If we had the same five, we're throwing high fives.
Okay. Okay. At number five, I have Teddy Peñuelas.
Teddy Peñuelas! Welcome to the season, everybody. Their first nickname has been thrown, Teddy Peñuelas down.
I got Teddy Peñuelas down. And I really, did you struggle with it at all? Do you want me to tell you why I struggled with it?
With Teddy? No, he may have made my list. So
oh, so you don't have, okay, so.
I don't have a problem.
Okay,
no.
Okay, so at five, I struggled with what to do with him because it feels like you got to have an offensive lineman on this list. Mm-hmm. I think his upside of all the linemen is the highest, but I mean, 2021, five games, then season-ending injury. 2022, the Georgia Southern game comes, which was what, the third game of the year, season-ending injury. He's already banged up in camp. Rule has said it's nothing major. He should be ready for the first game. So his injury history concerns me, but I think we'd all agree that of all the linemen, like if everybody stays healthy and maximizes, he's like an all-conference type of guy.
Yeah.
So I had him at number 5.
Yeah, and so I would say that's a fair person to add to the list, just because the O-line has seemingly been our weak spot.
Yep.
The last couple of years, especially last year. And I just remember when he came in as a freshman and we started playing much better on the offensive line when he joined. Like, he moves Cochran over, gets him out of the left tackle and puts him in a guard or right tackle, which makes us just a stronger unit. So I think if he can be out there, the line is so much more stable.
Yes.
That we're a different team almost. I felt like we were a different team with him than without him. So I think it's very fair to have him on, like, the most important.
So who was 5 for you?
I was struggling. I put Quentin Newsome.
Oh, that's a good. He was the. If there was like just missed the cut, Newsome would have been 6th for me.
Okay.
So don't think you're
and
way
that's
off.
That's where he just made the cut.
Just missed the cut, just made the
yeah,
cut.
Yeah, he just made it. And I really was racking my brain this last one. I don't even know if it's a great answer, other than the way you framed it is who. Like, needs to do well for, like, he's our veteran in the secondary. Right. Miles Farmer's out.
Mm-hmm.
Buford's out still. And I was thinking about putting in Hartsog. I didn't put Hartsog on my list. He'd probably make one of, like, you know, 7, 8, 9.
For sure.
Like,
he'd be in my top 10 to 12.
Yeah, I would say that, like, those DBs, man, they're going to get a lot of action this year, and this is our veteran. He's played a lot of football. So I think for him to be a stabilizing force in the secondary is going to be important.
I agree.
So that's why he made my list.
Quentin Newsome literally would have been – I mean, when I made my list, I expanded it out to 10 initially, and he was 6th. I wanted to put him over Teddy P just because Teddy P's only played – you know, 8 games over the last 2 years, but I just
6'9", 315 pounds is harder to replace than a DB that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, a DB is more replaceable than Teddy Pinyo ass.
Teddy
down.
Pinyo motherfucking ass down. Okay. Number 4, I put my main man, Billy Kemp.
Billy Kemp?
Billy, you stupid. Billy Kemp. Billy Kemp, wide receiver depth, legit weapons on the perimeter, was a concern of mine and has been a concern of mine. With Trey Palmer gone, who I just like, I miss him more each day.
I know.
I love that guy. Couple of things with Kemp I want to throw at you. So here, his stats at Virginia, 192 catches in 4 years. 192 catches, 1,774 yards, 4th all-time in Virginia history in career receptions, 10th in career receiving yards. He also led Virginia in punt return yards for 4 straight years. He had 369 punt return yards at Virginia, and I think he can help in the punt return game a ton. I guess any reaction before I throw some, like, some, I don't know, pseudo-concerning stats?
My reaction is, I think you may have been on somewhat of the same struggle with me. It's like, I didn't want to put him. I almost wanted to put
first down.
Any receiver do well.
Right.
Any, you know, a few of the position groups. I just wanted to say, like, somebody in this position group needs to be good. Like, we don't right. have, to my understanding, like, a receiver out there right now.
No. I think
other
receivers-
than maybe him that's, like, caught a couple of passes. Like, it's him and Washington. Washington's hands hurt.
Right.
And
then Garcia Castaneda is back. And exactly.
It's Billy Kemp, but he hasn't played it down for us. So, like, it was hard for me to put him because, like, I haven't seen him. I saw him in the spring game for a second.
And he looked good, you know.
It's fine. But, yeah, you're probably right in the sense of, like, it's kind of all on his shoulders at this point. Fleeks showed up like, he's like, I've been eating cheeseburgers all summer. You said run sprints. I thought you said eat cheeseburgers.
Oh, you said work out. I thought you said don't work out.
Oh, whoop.
You said eat healthy. I thought you said eat unhealthy.
Oh.
That was Fleeks.
That was my bad miscommunication.
I mean, how overweight did Fleeks show up?
So much that he couldn't participate.
I mean, that's...
I don't know how that's possible.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Did you ever have anybody at camp show up like, damn, dog, you've been a De Leon's getting
well,
your...
Usually it's the guys like, there are 300 and then they're 340 when they come. And it's like, well, yeah, they're a big guy. They like...
Yeah.
They love food.
Right.
But Fleeks must love food too.
Yeah. It's pretty rare to see a skill guy or even a defensive back come in way overweight.
I think if you're like, okay, he's a sixth-year guy. So it's like, you know how things work.
Right.
It's like if you're a sixth-year transfer and you come in and you can't practice because you're too overweight, don't you just go like, maybe you should just be done.
Maybe, seriously though,
it's something more. I'm joking.
But it speaks to your larger point that like, I had to have a receiver. I had to have a like when you say like, there are position groups where you go, somebody's got to be good from this group. To me, my first like someone on the offensive line has to be good, and to me, someone at the wide receiver spot has to be good. I chose Teddy P because I love saying Teddy Penuas down, and he's got the highest upside. And I chose Billy Kemp because he's the most proven dude.
Yeah.
And so...
That's right. It's right, though, he's the most proven. But yeah, I mean, that position scares me.
Scares me big time.
It's making me feel a little bit like 2019, where we had Wandale. We couldn't really get him the ball. He was hurt most of the year. And with him out, it was like... Cade Warner and no one else.
It was like
and
Cade Warner, Wyatt Lever.
Oh man.
It was just it was a
We didn't scare anybody.
No.
Ever. We couldn't get open. We couldn't catch the ball. We didn't scare anybody. It was a long year at wide receiver, that 2019. It's making me feel a little bit like we're trending towards that. I mean, we know first down can catch and he can play. Kemp has proven some. But like, put it all together. We're hoping for a couple first down.
I think I gotta pull it up just to make sure, but I'm like 90% sure that my cousin Scott texted me during the spring game that he couldn't stop laughing at. He goes behind watch. This is the April 22nd day of the spring game at 3:47 p.m. My cousin Scott says, watching the spring game, can't unsee Washington point for first every time.
Can't. It's. I feel bad.
Every time
I see him, I go, here it comes, and he does. It's like clockwork.
And somebody kinda, needs now. To talk I to now him. I'm like. I used to be like, come on. Now I want him to do it after every catch.
Yeah.
Now I'm all in it. But here's a couple of concerning stats to throw at you, Russillo. According to his, I keep on thinking of good God, Nebraska needs a big play guy.
Yes.
I don't think he's that guy. He's more of a possession, like Westerkamp type guy than he is a big play guy. And his stats kind of suggest that. According to looking at his ESPN stat log, his longest catch of his career is 32 yards. Here are his yards per catch average by year. 8.3, 9.6, 9.8, 7.3. So...
Got long limbs. I like it. He's got the long limbs. He does a pretty good job catching the ball. But yeah, he never seems to take... He's not like a take-the-top-off guy.
No.
But, you know, we just do need some guys that can go get out there, catch the ball. But to me, like, you know, we're talking wide receivers right now. Betts, Coleman, and one of these young, fast guys, somebody's got to step up.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And when I mean this, I have no idea... which of them is at all ready to be a real contributor, but somebody needs to.
Right.
And it's scary to me that there's not even whispers right now of like, hey, did you see the young guy? He's really turned. Like somebody needs to turn heads. And I haven't heard any of those comments about any, like I was hoping Coleman was going to be the, you know, he's the,
right.
The big
he's
recruit.
A freak. Yeah.
But you know, he's also a young guy.
He's
like,
a freshman.
It's
last thing on Billy Kemp, then I'll throw it to you for number four. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns either. He only has 8 career touchdowns. To put that into perspective, Palmer had 9 last year. Westerkamp had 18 for his career, and Samari Toure had 5 touchdowns in his 1 season at Nebraska. So just to, I mean, not that 8 this matters.
And how much did he play at Texas? Did he get 2 full years where he actually played?
Kemp at Virginia played.
Oh, you're talking about Kemp.
Kemp, yes. I'm talking about Kemp.
Well, Kemp had like, he had 3 full years at Virginia.
Yes. So I'm saying he doesn't, it's not a lot of touchdowns.
He's a small, if you see him, he's a small stature guy. Right. I think he's a guy that gets open, catches the ball. I don't know how dangerous he is. I mean, I guess he can return punts, though, so he's got to have some
kind of some wiggle to him or whatever, but I don't know.
But it's also those guys in the red zone, like, you're not always going to those guys.
You're not going to your, I mean, how tall is Billy Kemp?
It's like 5'8".
Yeah, you're not going to your 5'8 dude in the red zone most of the time. So, okay, that's my number 4. Who's your number 4? We went a long time on number 4.
That was a long number.
My bad.
Four.
I got to keep moving.
I went with Luke.
Oh, Luke's on my list. You going Luke?
What'd you see with Luke Reimer. He's our splash player on defense.
Yep.
He's our veteran. He's played a ton of football. We love Luke. He's a staple. He just got to be himself at his best this year. That defense needs stability. New coordinator. He's going to have to be good. He's going to have to do more mentally for that defense maybe than ever, because he's going to have to probably, you know, it's just hard when you haven't had a couple of years in the system. He's going to be learning something new, and he's got to make sure that his teammates are kind of doing what they're supposed to be doing too. So he's got to take on that role.
Is he pretty smart?
Yeah, I think so.
Because sometimes I don't really, you know, certain guys are like, they get by because of their instincts are so good. And that's important. I mean, all great players got to have that, but there does hit a point, especially with a new defense, that your instincts have to be where your knowledge of everything is at too.
Yeah, he's played a ton of football. He knows what he's doing. Like, that's not even going to be an issue at all for him. He'll be able to pick it up. But like, I think he needs to like affect his teammates. He's going to have to make those plays to change games, because they're gonna need playmakers. We're looking around that defense. Like, look hard. Like, who's going to make the plays?
Right.
It's kind of got to be him. Like, he's got to be one of the 2 or 3 guys that make plays. You know, our boy Henrich is going to be there. He'll be another stabilizing force. He's not as much of a playmaker as Luke, though. Luke's the playmaker. So, I think he's going to be very important to stay healthy and be at that old Luke form.
Do you have a feel? Do you have a good enough feel for the 3-3-5 to know how he'll fit in the 3-3-5?
No.
Okay. Cause don't. I don't really, yeah, but now I've always felt like he's got the speed and the makeup to be a pretty good guy that you blitz, and I get the sense that there's a lot of things you can do to be aggressive that he could be good in that regard. But a couple other notes on Luke. I mean 194 tackles the last 2 years. I mean, he's the leading returning tackler.
Yep.
I think any list, I don't know how you do this list and don't have him on it. I really don't.
And I feel bad. I left Henrich off, but like, I felt like I had to spread out the position groups.
Agreed.
A little bit, because
Andy's coming off an injury.
Yeah, Henrich is coming off the injury. He'll be a stabilizing force. He's very important for the culture of that team. He's a great culture guy.
Oh, yes.
And they'll fit those two on the field. And I do think Luke, this defense lets you run. They just see it, go get it, and he'll be great.
He'll be great at it.
So that's what Luke does well.
At number 3, I got our boy Jason Peter Jr., Ty Robinson.
Oh, sir. He'll be coming up with me shortly.
See, that's Luke's coming up for me. But Ty, now, I couldn't have warmed my heart. I almost wanted to record it and send it to you. The BTN bus tour came, and they'd watch practice and interviewed some people. They interviewed Ty Robinson. And during the interview, he shouted out Jason Peter, that Jason has done a great job of teaching him the culture of a black shirt and his legacy and how to work and lead. And I just was like, this is what I want to hear.
I saw it written out on something.
It's what I wanted to hear. Okay, like we said, where someone's got to be good from the O-line. Someone's got to be good from the wide receivers. The third position group would be the D-line. And to me, he's the most likely candidate. He's played 35 total games, 68 total tackles, 10 TFLs. He's got 4 sacks. That group, to me, is a big question mark. I'm concerned about that group. And I think Ty Robinson, who I've never been wowed by yet, needs to wow us this year.
Yeah, he is a specimen, though. He's a big human. He is a real presence. for whatever reason, yeah, I think my expectations for him are pretty high.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And he's been a solid player, but never a dominant player. And I'm waiting for him to switch that little last gear. Whatever that little thing is that you start dominating, he's capable of it. So right. We don't talk about that with everybody. We just hope some people play solid.
Mm-hmm.
We want him to be dominant.
That's a way to put it with him. That's good. Like,
yeah, and like just next gear.
Because
he's
been fine. You know, it's yeah. not like you can be like, but there's just that he needs to go to that next level.
Yeah, I still like it comes back. Remember that Purdue game, like 1-on-1 with
Aiden O'Connell.
Make the play, like right. dominate. You know, like there's been a couple of those where I just want to see him, just let the instincts rip. Right. Like whatever you got in there, I want to see it all, and I don't think I've seen it all.
Yes,
and that maybe that's not fair, but to me, it's like it's almost a compliment, like. I see more in some people than others. I think some people are like, they are kind of what they are. I've always felt like he's got more.
Totally agree. But I just totally agree with all that. That's a good way of putting it. Just struggle to see how at the end of the year, if we're sitting here going, man, Ty Robinson kind of had another year. If that happens, I'm concerned with the defense.
But he's going to be our best defensive lineman.
That's what I think.
Mark my words. Yeah. He will be our best defensive lineman. So if he's meh.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's a bad,
it's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Who you got at number three?
Teddy Pinuas
down. So shouts out to him.
Yeah.
Any other missed thoughts on Teddy Pinuas down?
No,
I hope,
health.
I do hope health. That, yeah, it's health. I was just going to, sure. You took the words out of my mouth. I do get worried. Injuries attract other injuries. And especially when big guys start to get banged up, they can really start to fall apart. I hope that's not the case here because, man, if you're he, right. Like yeah. In 2021, when he slid into the starting lineup, that was the best Nebraska played.
Yeah, we started. We had some moments where we started to look really good. Yeah, I mean that was the stretch of, you know, we started our 1 point, 3 point, 6 point loss streak or whatever. But we were looking. We looked right.
Yeah.
Couldn't win the games. We looked right. So I don't think we can afford to lose him. And, you know, him, Cochran, Scott in the middle. Like, if we want to be a real team, we need all three. We need for all sure. three of those guys.
Because you could have picked, and we'll get into that, the honorable mention. Like, I had all those guys on honorable mention. You could have picked a lot of different linemen. Yeah. But you and I both got Teddy P. Yeah. At number two.
Two, I'm Robinson, so skip
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so and yep. at two, I'm Reimer.
You're Reimer, okay.
So because to me, like at least on paper, Luke Reimer's the best player and most important player on defense right now. Would you agree with that?
I had Robinson ahead of him. So I think Robinson's more important than Luke just because...
Okay, let me back that up because that would have been you had it on the order of your list, but yeah. You think he's the best player on the defense?
The best? Ooh, Reimer's probably the best player on the
defense.
Who
would be nipping at his heels? Newsom?
Newsom or Ty.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the three best. And that's why they're there. They're the best players at each level. And I put Ty above Luke simply because I think Luke may be better overall, but Ty is more important because we just don't have any other options on the D-line. Like, if he can't be in, he's going to be in the middle there, clogging things up, wrecking shop. That makes all the difference for guys like Luke.
Right.
Where, I mean, it's not like Luke's replaceable, quote unquote. It's just like the bigger the monster, the harder it is to replace.
For sure.
That's why I have Teddy and Ty above these guys, because like they're just these human beings that you can't reproduce.
Yeah.
They're
I will
cute.
Say Ty was way bigger because he was sitting down and didn't have his shoulder pads on and he was sitting like he's a big dude. I was impressed
huge.
With this guy.
These are huge guys.
Yes. Okay, so at number one, obviously we're both gonna have Jeff Sims, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it goes without saying, if he struggles, the season's going to be a struggle. 41 touchdowns for his career so far, 30 passing, 11 rushing. He does have, I heard this note from Dave Revson on BTN, and I've talked about this, the 31 turnovers for his career, 23 interceptions, 8 fumbles. The 31 turnovers is the most turnovers per game of any active FBS player who's played at least 15 games.
Woo.
So that better get tightened up.
That's also where my faith in Matt Rhule, which is growing by the day.
Yes, it is.
I think Matt Rhule, in my mind, seemingly is the kind of person that really will get on him about that stuff. He'll get him thinking about it. Not that like that's the only thing that matters, because Sims has some tendencies. He throws the ball away. He doesn't protect it well enough. That stat tells you right there. The person that gives it away, gives it away. So Rhule's got his hands, you know, his work cut out for him, I mean. And but Sims, you know, that doesn't mean Sims can't improve on it. He definitely can. Quarterbacks can make pretty impressive jumps in that department, but they really have to emphasize it.
Yeah. I made this point on my last pod. It's bizarre how somehow Nebraska has been a magnet for turnover-prone quarterbacks. It's just interesting, and Sims at least comes with that a little bit of that reputation. But our boy Matt Mullen said Mullen went to Fan Day and saw Jeff Sims and said he's just a freak of nature.
And that's one thing that's you got to be excited about is we have a quarterback that is legitimately big and athletic.
Yeah.
You know, a stature, like a guy that you go, that's a linebacker.
It's almost a six. Yeah, it was Jerry DiNardo said when he tucks it and runs, he looks like a big tailback. I mean, he's 6'4", 225, 230, and well put together. I don't think I know the answer to this question. I wrote this down, though. What's a good day for him? A good stat line for him? Like, is he rushing for 80 and...
I think so. I think that like that 70 to 90 yards rushing a game
with that it for 200
and taking care of the ball. Right. I think we do that. That's winning football.
Right.
That means that he's keeping people off balance with his running, with his feet. It means he's scrambling and keeping drives alive. We're moving the ball. 200 says 300 yards. Basically then the running backs on top of that. So you think if he's doing 270 yards himself, the running backs are putting another 100 up roughly. That if you're doing that well, almost 400 yards, and you're running the clock, taking care of the ball. So if you gave me that stat line, 207 yards, 70 to 90 yards rushing, and low turnovers, I think that's a success for us to win more games.
I agree. I mean, it's now had a bunch of new quarterbacks here for a while. Like I don't know. There's a version of the season where he's really good, and there's also a version of the season where he struggles. I thought it was good to hear that Rhule talked about how Chuba Purdy has had a good camp and that Chuba has slowed down. He goes, Chuba doesn't have happy feet. I think you made the point. When I picture, like right now, everybody listening, just picture Chuba Purdy playing football. What I'm picturing is someone vacating the pocket and just running around.
Running for his life. Every single play. There's no pocket. It's drop back and it's run. Fail. And it's either throwing the run or, you know, that guy was running more. Like, I mean, he never stopped scrambling. That's all I can remember from him.
Yes. And that's what I just thought it was interesting. That was Rhule goes, he slowed down. I've got him, you know, he's done a better job. Because I think the guy's got some talent.
There's no doubt he's got some talent. I mean, his brother is freaking an NFL guy. Like, right. There's talent in the family. It's just, yeah, he was just like all over the place. It was like uncomfortable. Like, remember he even had those drives where he got like a bunch of first downs, but it was like he scrambles every play. Yeah, it just felt uncomfortable.
No. Okay, so I have Teddy Penuas down at number 5, number 4, Billy Kemp, number 3, Ty Robinson, number 2, Luke Reimer, number 1, Jeff Sims. You had number 5, Quentin Newsome, number 4, Luke Reimer, number 3 was Teddy Penuas down, number 2 was Ty Robinson, and number 1 was Jeff Sims.
Yeah, and I actually wrote this as my honorable mention was whoever QB2 is, because Sims... They're going to run him. I think they're going to run him.
I do too.
I think he's going to run a lot. And you know how this goes. New coach, new quarterbacks. The likelihood with a new system, new line, that quarterback makes it a whole season.
Well, Bo, I'm trying to really rack my brain here. Over the course of the last 10, 12 years, how many seasons has, maybe even go beyond that, has Nebraska gone an entire year without their second or third string quarterback starting a game?
Did Adrian ever make it a full season?
I don't think so.
In 20...
I mean, his freshman year, no. He got hurt the first game. I think his second year, I thought at some point Vedral was playing.
Yeah, the third year he got wired shut. Remember the 21 year that we lost all those close games, Michigan State.
And so he shut it down at the end of the year. And
the last two games he shut it down. Yeah. So that's when our boy...
God, what's his name?
It's been a long offseason.
I mean, that's it. What's his name? Matt Turman?
Matt Turman, yeah, that's it. No.
No, come on. We know.
We know his name.
Logan Smothers.
Jeez, Smothers Brothers. There we go.
Yeah. But no, but your point's well taken in that, like, it stands to reason, and history tells us that probably Harburg or Chuba, there's a better chance than not that they're going to have to play or start a game. So,
yes.
So, yeah, so I put down quarterback two. I mean, I think I felt Ben Scott maybe need to get some love. Mr. First Down himself, Marcus Washington. I wrote down the running backs, but like knew that, like Grant and Irvin both kind of like cancel each other out.
Yeah.
I wrote down the polar bear just because he got mentioned by Rule the other day and that got me excited about him. MJ Sherman, I wrote down Henrich. MJ Sherman, I wrote down. And then, one of Hartzog or Isaac Gifford. I think Isaac Gifford's going to have, now with Farmer gone, I think Isaac's going to have
to. He's moving back to full-time safety, which will, I think that will, like I said, he'll bring stability. He's a solid player. I mean, he will help.
Because also Rule mentioned with Gifford, he said, I got guys that can control the temperature of a room. He goes, I got Isaac Gifford. And like, that was the first name he threw out there. I'm like, okay. Like reading too much into who he throws out there and, doing things accordingly. So there you go. Five most important Huskers.
Who are you most concerned about? I think wide receiver is my number one. Like, I feel not good about wide receiver.
Yeah. God, my position group I'm most concerned about.
O-line still feels...
O-line. I mean, between O-line, D-line, and wide receiver, if I had to rank those three, then I'm from most concerned... to still really concerned, but not as concerned with the other two. I almost would go D-line, O-line, wide receiver.
D-line most concerned.
I'm concerned about that.
I tell you, it's important, and I don't know. I mean, Gunnarsson's one of those guys kind of looks the part. Do you know who also looks the part?
Who?
That is super young, and we should probably slow our roll, is that Van Poppel. Is it Riley Van Poppel?
Yep.
He's one of those like man-child freshmen that like looks like a junior. You know, he really does. So it's like Van Poppel, Wallen, MJ Sherman, and Judy, like Polar Bear, Ty Robinson. Like somebody's got to be good.
Somebody's got to pop.
I guess you need three, and then the other backups have to be just barely serviceable.
But what's weird though is I would say now that we've completed this task, upon review, it was hard, but like...
We had the same guys.
We ended up having the same dude. The only other... You had Newsom. So who did...
I had Newsom and you had...
Newsom and I had Kemp. That was the only difference.
Yep.
And Kemp... And I swear to God, Newsom was my sixth guy.
It's pretty obvious. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I guess I shouldn't say it's obvious. It's...
I would say the pool of players... I think you're pulling from about 10 dudes... 10, 11 guys at the most are going to make 90%
of people's
list.
There's four obvious. The four are obvious.
Yep.
And then there's six that you could be like, eh.
Yeah, because I didn't feel good about Teddy P.
Yeah.
Just because of the injuries. I threw Billy Kemp in there just because, I don't know, I'm like, I always get man crushes on guys, and Billy Kemp's my guy.
We need Billy. We need him.
All right. Speaking of, I'm going to go call Billy Kemp real quick. Okay.
All right, Billy.
I'm going to go take him to dinner.
A Herd at Sports Network production.